Thank you so much, band. It's just sorry, I'm a bit shaky this morning. I don't know if it's tired or whatever it is, but yeah, I just really experienced the Lord this morning, that He wants to reveal His love to us. It's something that we receive. It's not something that we work for. You don't work for love. It's not something that we earn. The love of the Father is a gift, and it's God is love, and we need to open up ourselves up for His love and experience it, and out of that we respond. It's not at all my topic this morning. Is a little bit different too, but I think maybe it's good. Maybe it ties in with that. It does tie in with that. So, sorry guys, I'm just getting my bearings. My name's Dennis. Good morning, of those that you don't know me. Jaco asked me to come bring a message today as he's on holiday or on their way back. And every time he asks me, I get very nervous because I'm not really your stand-up kerkman. You know, I've like everyone have major faults and so on, but I still take it as an opportunity and I know that it's God that wants to speak through me because there's nothing that I've done or I can do to add any value to anyone. So this morning I'm standing here as a willing vessel, and my heart's desire and my prayer is that the Lord will anoint my words, that the seeds that are planted this morning will really just take ground on good ground. We pray for good ground this morning in Jesus' name, and that you will be open to receive what the Lord has to say to you. Please excuse me, I'm being a bit sick, so my keel krap bietjie. My sermon is entitled Life, a Life of Worship. And the reason that I've kind of come up with what I want to say this morning is I've been going through quite a tough time, you know, spiritually, and it's a bit of a desert season for me, you know, whether it's really a season or just self-inflicted, but it is what it is. And I know a lot of people go through times where they just feel empty. And so I struggle with, you know, with the Lord in the sense of why is everything, what comes out as a lust? Why is everything so difficult? And, you know, time with Him and experience His goodness and so on. It feels like such a mission to me at this moment. As I was just thinking of what to say this today and going through, I just feel the Lord has given me a revelation of where I'm at and where a lot of people I know are at. And it's a principle that he's given me, and it's a principle that we can just choose to take or to leave, because God gives us that choice. So this morning, I want to start off with Matthew 6. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So the reason I'm throwing this up there is worship. You've got to worship something. So you either, there's only two. Either you're worshiping God, either Jesus is the king of your life, He's on the throne of your life, or we sitting on our own thrones, or we worship, you know, we devote our time and energy to things of this world, to money, to the life that we can lead, to, you know what I mean, to this side of eternity, we're putting all our devotion in. And God says, bottom line, you either He's the master or He's not. It's God over all or not at all. So it's either Jesus or it's not Him. And for us to be worshippers and to really come and worship in spirit and truth in the way that God has designed us to worship Him, we first need to put Jesus on the throne. Otherwise, we're worshipping demigods. We're not sure who's our king anymore. And the second part is God is a jealous God. So that just says to us, He's not going to share the throne with us. He's not going to, that is, it's either everything or it's nothing. You shall not go after other gods, any of the gods or the people who are around about you. For the Lord your God is in the midst of you and is a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you and He destroy you from the face of the earth. It's a bit harsh, but it's God is God and His word stays the truth. So we know God is not—he's not really playing around with us in the sense. Let me just go to the definition of worship this morning. Worship is the adoring response of all that the believer is—mind, emotions, will, and body—to all that God is and says and does. It is an act of freely giving love to God. So we see worship is a response. We can only truly worship God if it's out of response. So if it's in relationship, because you can't respond to someone that you don't know. You can't respond to something that you don't really know. So first of all, worship is a response. What we do this morning should come out of a response, an adoration of God. But worship isn't just standing and singing. Worship is a way of life. Worship is, we worship Him with our time, with our energy, with our resources, with our words, with what He's given us. We can either devote that into the world or we devote it to God. Another definition is the response of the human spirit to a manifestation of the glory of God. The word worship comes from Old English word meaning worth-ship. To worship God is to express His worth. So we see, again, it's a response. We experience God and we respond to Him in worship. David, for me, was someone that understood this quite well. David was someone that responded. He was an emotional kind of guy. So he either responded and he was moaning with God and asking, crying and saying, "Where are you? What's happening?" Or he was up and down. He was a bit of a roller, I'm not going to say drama queen. He was a bit of a roller coaster guy. But he was honest and he lived a life of honesty. He lived a life close to God and he walked with God. And I think a lot of times you read the Psalms and you think, how can you speak to God like this? You know, how can you question Him? But I think he knew God well enough to know that God is his Father and he loves him. And he'd rather have someone question him than someone that just sits there and you know, is too afraid to speak to him. God is not someone with a big stick. He loves us and he's a father to us. As I'm a father to my kids, he's a father to me. And he has that same heart toward us. And so David understood this. And in Psalm 24, it's broken up into three pieces. And the first part is David comes to God and he adores his creation. God is creator. So the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. So David comes and he acknowledges God as the creator, which a lot of people say, yes, there's a God he created, but they don't really have a relationship with him. But it's a step one, to actually acknowledge God as the creator. Then the second part, the middle part of Psalm 24, David goes and he says, he kind of asks, if you're the God of creator, and he knows that we can actually approach him, he says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of God of Jacob. So what he says is, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? So who can approach God? Who is man that can approach him? But he says this, he says, those with a pure heart and clean hands. You know, pure heart and clean hands is someone that's living a holy life, because sin separates us from God. And it's our own choice. It's not God that these are all our own choices. God has put all the balls in our court in the sense. So David has actually a desire to draw close to God. That is probably step one. Do we want to draw closer to God? We know that he's creator of all, but do we have that real desire to move forward to him? And there we have the answer, if we want to. He says that the people who seek God, we need to be a generation, a church, a nation that seeks God, and God will respond to that. And in the third part is David has that revelation of who God is. And he's, let's say he's ascended the hill and David got to where he wanted to be. And his words are, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, and ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, and the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So David went from God as creator to God as his king. And that is why I said David was an amazing worshiper, because God was his king. He lived and devoted his life to him. And out of that, he responded. And that is where we need to come to, I believe, we need to come to a place where it's God that is our king and that our life is devoted to him. Yes, you need to pay the bills. You need to do what you got to do. But it's about priority. It's about where our heart lies daily. And it's the same with Moses. Moses was someone that amazingly actually, he sat not face to face, but he sat with God. He was someone that God spoke to directly, like a friend, like I can speak to whoever's sitting here. He was someone in the Bible that I just think is had the one of the closest relationships with God. And here we see again the character that Moses had and the appreciation I think that God has for that character. And he says, "And the Lord has said to Moses, I will do this thing also that you have asked, for you have found favor." He says to Moses, "You have found favor, loving kindness and mercy in my sight, and I know you personally and by name." And to hear that I think from God is amazing. And Moses said, "I beseech you, show me your glory." And God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, before you. For I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy and loving kindness to whom I show mercy and loving kindness." He said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me alive." So Moses was, he was already there with God, and he wanted more of him, which might sound a bit greedy, but it's actually, that's what God wants. He wants to give us more, but we need to desire that thing. And Moses said, he was there, but I want to see your face now. So he's a bit cheeky in that sense, but God, he allows him. And I think it's the same that we must sort of understand is God will allow us to, if we prepare to break in and search him and ask him, he entertains that with us. And here he gives Moses what he wants, short of killing him. He says, "And the Lord said, behold, there is a place beside me, and you shall stand upon the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." So what he basically says is, you go sit there in the corner and he'll just give you a glimpse, because that is as much as any man can handle. But that is how close Moses got to God. And I just really believe that for us today with the Holy Spirit and with the new covenant, we have that same opportunity to come to God and to worship him as our King. And it comes back to where my struggle was. There are a lot of things in life that everyone wants to be good at. Everyone wants to prosper in, but it seems a struggle. And it's just, the Lord just kind of showed me that the characteristics and the response of a worshiper are a couple of things. The first response of someone that knows God as his King is thankfulness. If we really understand God, we will be people that are thankful. Not for if we've got a lot of things we thank, we're always thankful. Because he's taken us out of darkness into his mouth. He's given us salvation. He's giving us everlasting life. So it's not thankfulness because of circumstances. It's thankfulness in every situation. Paul sat in jail and he was thankful. And he worshipped God because he understood God. Hebrews 12 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and worship God in reverence and fear in a way that pleases him." So they understood in Hebrews that what we have, we need to start understanding what God has done for us. And out of that, the natural response is thankfulness. Philippians says, "I know how to be brought," and this is Paul speaking, that's why I'm using Paul as an example. Paul understood God and Paul understood what kingdom he's in. Paul wasn't confused. Paul knew he's fighting for the right kingdom. And circumstances in this side of eternity, it doesn't matter. It makes no difference. Because he understood what's happening, you know, in the greater scheme of things. And he says, "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." So, there's the first response of someone that's a worshiper of God. It's thankfulness. And that's what I'm saying. I'll walk around and think, why am I not more thankful? Why are my words, you know, it's on the lips. Thankfulness, you'll know someone that's a thankful person or not. It's always going well, and it's always, you see the good things instead of the bad. That is someone that's responding out of thankfulness. Second thing is sanctification, leading a holy life. When I just got, I think I got saved about 12 times in my life. But when I really started, you know, focusing, it was always a thing of, which I kind of enjoyed. It was a thing of, I'd have sin in my life and I'd stop with a specific sin. And it was always weird to me, because it wasn't because someone told me to stop or someone, you know, kind of bugged me the whole time and someone said, "Lacey, you must stop doing this." And it was just a thing. I didn't want it anymore. And it was just, it disappeared. I didn't want that sin in my life anymore. And that, I think, again, is a response of someone that knows God. And because you know that if you lead a holy life, God says, be holy for I am holy. And you can draw nearer to God if you live a holy life. Because if you have sin in your life, once again, it separates us from God. And so a natural reaction would be, I want to lead a holy life because I need to live a holy life. I need to be closer to God. I need to ascend the hill of the Lord as much as I can to be filled by Him. The third thing after that is obviously repentance. Once again, you have the cycle of sin in your life. It's the same thing. And our Western idea of repentance is, you know, is more a thing of where you feel guilty and you're sorry, and then next week it's the same thing. That's not repentance. Repentance is stopping what you're doing and walking away from it for good. And once again, that's a response because you know if I don't repent, if I don't walk away from the sin, it's going to come between me and the opportunity I have to meet with the Creator, with our King. Fourth is humbleness. I don't know if that's a word, but it means being a humble person. I don't know what the proper English word is. Humility. Isn't it? Is it? Okay. Humility. I think that is quite a given. I think if you get close to God, the way these guys were, humility kicks in immediately because you realize how small and insignificant you are. And arrogance just kind of flies out the door. But for God, it's quite a big point. For God says, living in harmony, no, he says here, sorry, I'm going to the next one. But he gives all more grace. And so he says, God opposes the arrogant, but gives grace to the humble. So it's not like God doesn't really like people that are arrogant. He opposes it. It's like a reflect. He reflects. He doesn't like arrogance. So that's another thing that I think is a response to worship and a response of knowing that Jesus is our King and meeting with Him and having a relationship. And the better we know Him, the more that humility just becomes part of us because we realize that we are really nothing. We don't deserve anything we have. It's only by His grace that we live the life we live. And it's by His love that he brings us into his courts and that He brings us closer. And we don't deserve a second of that. We don't deserve His salvation. We don't deserve His forgiveness. But He loves us. And that should bring humility into us. That should form us. Next thing is faith. I think for me, the times in my life where I've felt that I've had the most faith are the times that I've spent the most time with the Lord. Those are the times that I've been stretched the most. You know, you go through tough times and you wonder in that time, are you ever going to get out? But when you get out, you feel stronger. Because you can go back and say, that's what God's done for me. And with the relationship with God, as we walk, we experience Him and we see He's faithful, He's good to us. And the next challenge becomes a thing of, but Lord, you are good. You are who you say you are. And faith is something very important to God. He says, you cannot please me if you don't have faith. Because what it means is, if my little boy is cold and he knows, okay, I'm not going to ask Dad for blankets because he probably won't give it to me. I know he's got, but he's not going to give it to me. That's ridiculous. I mean, I want to give it to him. It's the same with the father. You know, we come to him and think, yet I believe, help me with this problem and then help me financially, and you run to the bank and you get a overdraft. So we don't trust God. We pray the prayer because we must, you know, we go to church and we all have a Bible. But it's that truth faith that we're saying, Lord, I believe what your word says and I will stand on that. And once again, I think that's a response of being in the presence of God and having Jesus as the King and not us or the world or money or, you know, we're wasting our time with the rest of it. And out of faith flows righteousness. And righteousness in the Amplified Bible where it says, in the right standing with God. So if you are a righteous person, it means that you are in right standing with God. And someone that was called righteous quite a bit was Abraham. But you always see that it says, for in God's righteousness is being revealed from faith to faith. As it written, righteous will live by faith. So faith and righteousness go hand in hand. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness produced by faith. So it's always two in one. And I think the Lord sees, if he sees someone that has faith, he thinks, I can work with him. There's someone I can work with. Not if you have a title, or whatever. If he sees there's faith in you, he can work with you. And I think the Lord sometimes just searches this world and says, who's got faith? You know, where can I find someone? Daar ook kan ek gebruik. But once again, it's a response. So, and why, the reason I'm repeating it the whole time is because a lot of time I'll go and, you know, someone's sick and you pray and you think, if I got this formula right, then it's probably going to work, you know. I'm going to say in Jesus' blood 12 times, I'm going to smear something on there, I'm going to get 10 guys to put hands on, and you think it's a formula, but it's not really, you know, because it's not coming, it's not a response out of knowing God and knowing the Lord wants to heal him and just say 3 words and walk away and have faith that it will happen. So, you see where I'm going at. A lot of times you want to start at point 10, but I think a lot of times one has to go back to the root and think, why are things in my life not formed? Why are things in my life not in place? And a lot of times I think it goes back to, because maybe, or we say, Lord, why don't you come through for me? Your word says this and that, and where are the blessings, and where's all this? I think a lot of times the Lord just wants to sit us down and say, listen, I want to give this to you, but you are not in my kingdom. And these tools and these gifts are there to further the kingdom and to glorify God. But we want them to further our kingdom. And I say, Lord, give me special wisdom so I can come up with an amazing business idea and then I can tithe more. You know, that's building my own kingdom. And I know it's a bit extreme, but I know that's how most of us pray. A lot of us pray. You know, Lord, send me a wife. And then you think, you know, for what? So I can further my kingdom. Or is it, you know what I mean? Whose kingdom are we fighting for? So, the great reward, the great reward that I find in the Word is the reward of someone that has the right king on his throne. Is this in 1 Peter 2, where the Lord says, where Paul says, as you come to him, as you come to Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So as what Paul says is, as Jesus was rejected by men, by the world, but God chose him and had him precious, we are the same. We might be rejected by the world and by people and family and so forth, but God finds us precious and he's chosen us. And we need to decide who we're going to believe. Do we believe the world, what they say about us, or do we believe what God says about us? And then he has this opportunity where he says he wants to build us as a spiritual house. So God actually wants to use us. He wants to make us part of his kingdom, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And for me, that kind of just closes the deal. It's as if I just understand it better now that we live in opposing kingdoms. There's a kingdom of God and there's a kingdom not of God. And we have the opportunity to become royalty in God's kingdom in this time. And he says royal priesthood. So what it says to me, I'm not just a peasant in his kingdom. I have the opportunity to become part of his staff, to become part of his army, to become a right hand of God. And we all have it. And as individuals and as a church and as a nation, we have the opportunity to become royalty. And the most glorious thing is that we will then share the glory with God. But ultimately, it's all a choice. God gives us the choice. God gives every person the choice. And it's not a formula that we can ring down, or it's not a prayer some holy prophet will come pray on you. It's a choice that we have. We sit with information. We sit with everything we need. And now God says, now it's up to you. That's why he loves someone that seeks him. He loves that heart of someone that searches him. So I just feel that this morning, you know, with the worship and with us experiencing God's love, I think his heart's desire is for us to sort of understand what he wants to do. We are not created to pleb through life and get a pension fund and die. It's not why God created us. God created us to further His kingdom, and God created us to become partakers of His inheritance, and to be His children, and to live as His children, to live as people that are victorious and people that are overcomers. But we a lot of times forget that if we want to be victorious and overcomers, we need to do it for His kingdom. I'm not sure if He's really going to give us those tools if we have our own little kingdom on the side there. And that is what confuses us a lot of times. I think the Western church is just, so deceived by that. Because all we read is self-help books and how God can bless you financially and how God can do this and that. And we get so obsessed with ourselves. But God wants us to open up our eyes and share in the kingdom. Philippians 2 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And end of the day, for me, that is what God's saying to everyone. You know, you can't blame circumstances. You can't blame people. You can't blame your past. You can't blame sickness. You can't blame anything. Because you stand alone before God at the end of the day. Yes, you have fellowship going forward, but you choose whether you want to be part of it or not. So, if we can all just stand this morning. As Richard said, you know, what he felt this morning, I just really believe that God wants to reveal Himself to us in love. I think God is seeking people that have a heart, a hunger for Him. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It's just, He just wants someone that seeks Him. And He revels, He loves people that seek His heart. Doesn't matter where you come, what information you have, it's just who you are. It's just God. God is not a respecter of person. He loves everyone exactly the same. But He's a Father and He hungers after us. He hungers for our response. Just as any father hungers for response from his child, you know, a hug. He doesn't have to do anything. My boys, they don't have to do anything. I just love them. But I love it when they respond to me. I love it when they see that I love them. And it's the same thing with the Father. He just wants us to respond to Him. Father, Lord, we thank You that You've opened the door for us, Lord. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, for the blood, Lord, that set us free. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for the cross, Lord, that the veil has been torn, Lord, that You've given us the opportunity to come into Your presence, Lord, into Your Holy of Holies, Lord, and to be part of You, Lord, to be partakers of the kingdom. And Lord, my prayer this morning is that You will open up our hearts, Lord. Lord, that You will take away these hardened hearts, Lord, this stubbornness, Lord, this religious, false religion, Lord. Lord, this unforgiveness, Lord, that holds us back, Lord. The Lord says if you have an issue with a brother, if you have something to sort out, leave your sacrifice at the altar and go sort it out. Don't come to me if you're full of issues, if you're full of unforgiveness and hatred. He wants us to get rid of that. He wants to set us free of that. He wants us to experience the fullness of who He is and who we are in Him. And Lord, this morning I pray, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit to give us that revelation, Lord. And as people go into the week, Lord, that You will reveal Yourself to them, Lord. Lord, but You say, Lord, that You love that hungry heart, Lord. You love people that will come and worship You in spirit and in truth, Lord. Lord, that true response, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that You will open up our hearts for that, Lord, that You will flood Your church, Lord. That You will flood Your church, Lord, that love, Lord, that living water, Lord, that just goes and nourishes, Lord, and that desert, Lord, just becomes green, Lord, that the rivers start to flow. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You'll take away those distractions, Lord, those roll away, those like clipper, you know, that anyone's heart to mark, you know. And if anyone this morning just feels that they would like someone to pray with them, I just urge you to come forward. We'll have someone to pray for you and pray for each other. And I just feel that the Lord wants to bless you. He wants to bless you in this week. He wants to show you that He's good to you. He wants to show you that His love is unconditional to you. And He's inviting you into His kingdom. Jesus invites you into His kingdom. Lord, we thank You for that, Lord. We pray, Lord, that You'll bless every single person here this morning, Lord, that You'll bless every family represented here, Lord. Lord, that Your favor will rest on them, Lord, that You will protect us, Lord, from the weapons, Lord, of the enemy, Lord, that no weapon formed against any person here will prosper, Lord. And Lord, that you be glorified through our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.